Our Bibles this morning, our 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
You know, I was thinking this morning when we turned down Mason Avenue, I can see it. Brother Ken's truck was here this morning. It wasn't, and I said that, and I said, Brother Ken must be sick.
So, a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of life that you've given to us, dear Lord. We're thankful for the goodness of, throughout this past week, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, as we recognize as we get older, dear Lord, time just goes so very quickly. Lord, here we just turn the beginning of another year. Now we're here halfway through the second month of the year, dear Heavenly Father, and spring is not too far off, and as everything that holds forth to spring and revivals and camp meetings, and it just continues to go, another day, another year, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord, we want to be faithful to you. We want to serve you. We want to live for you, dear Heavenly Father. We're thankful for salvation. Dear Heavenly Father, we're in this race. Dear Heavenly Father, you tell us that we have to be in a race, dear Heavenly Father. And I thank God that we're not in a race against one another. And dear Heavenly Father, this race we can help one another, encourage one another. And the race isn't to be first. The race isn't to be the fastest. The race isn't to be the smartest. But dear Heavenly Father, the race is to finish. And dear Heavenly Father, there is a great deal of endurance that we have to do to finish this race. But Lord, you promised us that we can have victory. Every single soul, every single individual, regardless of their abilities, their education level, whatever they have, dear Heavenly Father, you promised that you can help us to finish this race, dear Heavenly Father, faithfully and receive our prize at the end. So Lord, we ask you to be with us as we're here this morning. We ask you to bless each and every one of us, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to anoint the message. Anoint me that I'll bring as you have us to, that we'll receive the blessing. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul is dealing with people here that didn't believe in that Christ had rose from the dead. And he was trying to deal with them through this chapter, and I don't know if it's a whole chapter, so to speak, but the first part of this that we're going to deal with. And Paul, obviously, as we'll read here in a little bit, had a pretty difficult time to convince people. And I guess, I've dealt with some people over the years, not too many. I can only think of maybe one or two. I know two of them that I know of, maybe some more, that didn't believe in anything after this. They didn't believe in life after death. They believed that once they died, they were buried, and it was over. I have one man tell me, he says, I've told my family, I think he already had provisions for his body, that they'll come take his body. I don't think he necessarily said donate it to science, but there was something he was going to do that his family would not get any of the remains back. He told him, I don't want you to have a funeral. I don't want you to have a burial. I don't want you to have anything. I'm going. And my heart was upset for that for a couple reasons. One, the difficult for the family. They may go on and have a memorial or some type of what they call celebration of life today. But I thought to myself, you're wrong. You do have an eternal life. And the problem is that after that, when you pass on this earth and you find out that there is an eternal life, it's too late then. There's nothing you can do to rechange that. So Paul had some dealings here. And one of the things I want to emphasize in this particular reading that we're going to go here, Paul strongly emphasized, and note it to what I'm making the comment here, Paul strongly emphasized that our hope, our faith, is in Christ being raised from the dead. And that's what he tells them. That's what we're going to read here in just a few moments. Paul says our hope in life, our hope in eternal life, our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith and love, our faith is in the thought that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let's pick up here in verse 12. And Paul says here, 1 Corinthians 15 and 12, Now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul's trying to say, we preach that Christ has risen from the dead, And that's what we say. And he says, so some of you are saying among you, there is no resurrection of the dead. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? So he's trying to reason with their mind, trying to get them to understand what their thinking is. And in verse 14, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he hath raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. So, as I mentioned here, Paul is dealing with them, trying to get them to understand and believe that Christ has risen, to take faith in that. And I'm thinking of this verse or this chapter, this message a little bit a couple weeks ago when I talked about having a vision. I thank God we can have a vision of the kingdom. And anything really in the Word of God, we have to have an understanding by the Spirit of God to teach us. If you believe anything in the Word of God, it's because of the mercy of God that the Spirit of God has taught you that. A lot of times people, as I think about it this morning, a lot of times as people, you may ask them, has Christ risen from the dead? They may say yes, because they were taught it in Sunday school. They know the Easter story. They see the crosses, or they just hear some things. They may say yes, but what purpose is that to you? Go back a little bit in this chapter in verse 4 we're going to pick up here. And Paul again is trying to help them to understand some things. In verse 4, and that he was buried, of course, after he died, and he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what we read. That's what we know. And by faith, we believe that. Today, in our time, we believe that as Jesus was crucified, they put him in a tomb. On the third day, he arose from the dead. The Scriptures tell us that. We believe that. And verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So now Paul's changing a little bit of difference. So you believe something because of the Scripture, but now I'm telling you there's some fact and some proof that people actually seen him after he had risen from the dead. Verse 6, after that, after Cephas and the 12 there, after that he's seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present, but after some have fallen asleep. In verse 7, and after that he was seen of James, then of the apostles, and of course he goes on, least of all he's seen of me there. So he's trying to tell them that, trying to reason with them, you don't believe in life after death, so to speak. You don't believe that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and he rose the third day. You're not believing that, but the Scriptures tell us this, and there's proof that we have it, that many people seen him, and a greater part of those people are still alive today. Eyewitnesses. There were people that actually seen Christ, actually handled Christ, and actually talked to Christ and heard him speak. Eyewitnesses that there was proof. So Paul was trying to deal with them and help them to realize. And he's letting them know our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's our hope today. That's our faith. That's our trust. That's our hope. Our all the things that Paul's mentioned here. That's our hope in life. Our hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the question: do we believe that? And as I just mentioned a little bit ago, we may believe it because we read it through the Scriptures. But there needs to be something more than just that. There needs to be something more, and I'll mention this a little bit, or I'll mention this as Thomas. We know the story of Thomas, that after Jesus died, and the disciples seen him, and they told Thomas that they'd seen him, and Thomas said to him, he goes, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. You know, we're in a time today, there's no one alive since Christ. There's not one person that's been alive since Christ.
So I can't go to someone. I can't say, Brother Danny, you were there. You talked to him. Did you really see Christ? No, he wasn't. And there was no one alive. So as Jesus said that to Thomas, he said, Thomas, when he appeared to Thomas, he said, Thomas, look, he said, see the nail prints of my hand. See the spear where it pierced my side. He goes, believe me. And Thomas believed. He goes, Thomas, you're blessed. He says, you believe because you see some things, but blessed are those that believe and do not see. I thank God I believe in the resurrection of Christ. That's my hope in life. That's my hope for eternal life.
Yes, amen.
That's our hope. That's our only hope in life is the resurrection of Christ. I believe this. I thank God I haven't seen him. I haven't touched him. I haven't seen the nail prints in his hand. I haven't seen his side. I never seen the thorns where they went into his ear. I haven't seen those things, but by the grace of God, I thank God I believe it fully and completely. Not because I was taught it one day, not because I talked to someone that was an eyewitness. I believe it because Jesus Christ has personally revealed this to me. And he has given me that hope of eternal life, and thank God a hope in this life also. Verse 14. He says, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. You know, I thank God for the confidence that we can have in our preaching and living for God because we believe that Christ arose. You know, we would be foolish to stand here and you would be foolish to sit here if we didn't believe that.
Right.
It'd be foolish.
Sure.
He said, if Christ be not risen then, our preaching's vain. We have no value of doing what we're doing. We're just wasting our time. If Christ was crucified on the cross and put in a tomb and buried and never arose from the dead, then we're in vain. Because all that he taught, he told him, he says, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to live again. And I'm going to go back to my Father and make intercession for you, and this is a salvation for each and every one of us. If I didn't believe that, then what I'm doing here this morning is absolutely of no value to you or myself or anyone else. And he goes on there and says, not only is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, you don't have any faith. Because you're believing in a dead God. That's a saddening to my thinking sometimes. There are people that are worshiping other gods in the world and other things in the world, and they're dead gods. There's no physical or living statue with them. They're dead, and they believe and trust in those things. I thank God we're serving a risen Savior.
Yes.
We're serving a God that did raise from the dead, and I believe that. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, from your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins. I hope you understand the weight of that verse there. I'll read it again. Because he said, talking what we just read to you a little bit ago, your faith is in vain. Verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Because Christ rose from the dead, and because he shed his blood, and because he said everything that he said while he walked, and all the Old Testament scriptures came completely true, and because he arose from the dead, our faith and our sins are washed away by the blood of Christ when we accept Jesus Christ. And if he hadn't risen from the dead, then our faith and our sins still remain to this day. You're still a sinner. You say, well, I repented from sin, but if you didn't believe that Christ rose from the dead, then you're still a sinner. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. You know, every one of us are headed to the grave. And every one of us, our hope is in after the grave. If you haven't figured out my message, I'm going to be talking about hope this morning, but our hope is after the grave. Really. I thank God for life. I thank God he gave me life. I thank God he gave me spiritual life and that I can live for him, enjoy the things of Christ here in this world. But my hope is after this world. That's my hope. That's everything. That's what I'm living for God for. That's what I've resisted the world and rejected the world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And there have been some that have sat among us that have gone on to the reward. As Sister Ann said, they're enjoying what we're looking for one day. Their hope, and I'll read that again. And they, and Paul says to them, he's trying to indicate and he's trying to get them to understand that if they don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he says then in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep, he's talking about those that had died, their family members, their friends, their loved ones, those that had died in Christ are perished. I thank God, but they didn't. They didn't just go into the ground and that's where they are and it's over with for them. Their life is over. There's no eternal life. There's no. But if Christ hadn't risen, then there is no hope for them. But I thank God for the saints of God to hear their hope. Sister Hawk, Brother Hawk, Brother and Sister Bush, many other ones that were here, my aunt Sis, and different ones that have sat here among us for years, Sister Frances, he mentioned, and several other ones now. There were several that sat here and their hope was in Jesus Christ and they have fallen asleep. They have died into this world, but they have not perished by the grace of God because they believed that Jesus Christ had arose from the dead. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And he's telling them, you know, these things. We believe that Christ is risen from the dead. And look at the latter part of verse 20. And become the first fruits of them that slept. Thank God. That's my first fruits. That's my desire in life, to be able to stand before Jesus Christ one day, bow before him, and hear him say, well done. That's our hope. That's our desire. But if I don't believe that Christ had risen from the dead, that hope's all gone. That hope doesn't exist. But he says there in verse 20, but now is Christ risen. We believe Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Those ones that I just mentioned and other saints have lived for God all these years and have passed on and have served our eternal life. They are enjoying the first fruits. They are enjoying the things that they desired their entire lives. I'm telling you, sometimes we need to get a better vision of what's on the other side so we can be more diligent in this walk this year. Be more closer to God. We can't be in a place to where we're just barely making it, where we're just barely getting by, we're just barely serving God. We need to get in fully to this. We need to serve God fully. We need to worship God and be a part of the kingdom of God and have a vision of the kingdom of God so we can have that hope and eternal life. My main thought for this evening, or this morning, is verse 19. And I've quoted this many a times. I skipped over it as we were going down through there, but verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But I thank God this is not our only hope. If in this life only I have any joy, I have any hope, I have any good things of God, and when I die, and that's it, he says, we are of all men most miserable. That's true. I believe that. Now I've heard many people say in the past, and I understand exactly what they're saying. If there wasn't an eternal life, I would still live this life, okay? And I understand your thought. God has blessed me. God has given me good things in life. It's fine. I'm not talking about material. He's blessed me spiritually, but that's all part of that. Let me tell you what, as saints, we have to resist. We have to reject. We have to resist the things of the world. Just because we got saved, there was one song we sang this evening, or this morning, and I think the one verse says, And it says, I think the verse where it says, dead to every sin, every worldly sin, every worldly pleasure, I think. Well, let me tell you what, I understand that we resist, but when we get saved, God doesn't put us on a pinnacle and we're never tempted again.
No.
The devil just sharpens up his knives and he comes at us strong. There's still many things out there we have to resist on a daily basis. You know, Brother Danny and I, we kind of share a same thing. He loves anything chocolate, triple chocolate cake. I think I'm the same way. I think Linda's the same way. I tell you, you see that, I mean, I may be able to resist some other things, but you see that, she had, I went in her house the other day, and she had a triple chocolate cupcake. I know you probably got, somebody got it from Sam's. I'm like, I know where she got that from, I think, anyway. But that's an appeal to me. There are some people, they care less about chocolate. They don't want anything. I don't like dark chocolate. I don't know why I don't, but I don't. And even the people I work with, they have some candy every once in a while. I'm not a real candy freak at all, but they have some candy. And Donna, the secretary, and I'll walk over there. She goes, "You don't want that. It's all dark chocolate." They know I don't like that. It's not a temptation to me. But there are other things, and I'm talking about food things, and there's nothing sinful about those things. There are other things that's a temptation. Well, the same thing when we get saved. There's still a temptation. There's still things that tempt us with those things, but we have to resist. We have to shun them. We have to put them away, that we can make heaven a home. So as he says there, if in this life only I have Christ, I have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Imagine every one of us in here can have a lot of things to do this afternoon or today, but we aren't in church. Especially once that weather starts to change out there and it gets nice. I spent all day. Yesterday was nice. I got up, started probably around 10 o'clock in the morning. I went to probably 6 all day cleaning out my garage and just cleaning out and straightening up. Over the wintertime, you bring something in there and you just sit it here and you sit it there and you sit it there. And there's all kind of stuff been sitting in there that goes places. I spent all day. I got quite a bit done. But I could probably spend all the day doing other stuff that I need to straighten out and clean up and take care of. But I find it needful to be in the house of God.
Right.
I found it needful for my hope in Jesus Christ to be in the house of God. To be under the sound of the preaching. To be under the testimony. To be with the saints. To be a part of that. Right. So he says, if in this life only I have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But I thank God for the hope that I have. Do you have a hope this morning? What is your hope? Do you have that hope in Christ? Do you have that hope? And you know, we are at this point in this time in life, I believe most people could say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Back in there, Paul had to deal with them. He had to try to help them, to understand them. Because with the exception of when Christ raised some people from the dead, and if I remember, I think he only, that we have written down, he only rose 3 people from the dead. I think Lazarus was one. I think the little girl was another. And he stopped a funeral procession one time and he raised that, I think it was a young man there, the mother's son. I think that were the 3. I think, I'm not 100% sure. But they were the only ones that we recognize there. But it was something they did. So to hear, and even today, if we were to hear, you know, I buried someone last week and they come back to life, and we would look at that person and say, "Yeah, I don't think so." We would. When they raised Lazarus from the dead, Lazarus walked around. He showed himself to me. And there was even skeptics talking. Like, we heard that Lazarus is still alive and walking around. So they were even skeptic of that. And if we had heard someone we just buried last week is alive today walking around, and we seen him, and we knew we buried him, and he walked through that door, I'd imagine most of us would be afraid. I don't think we'd be joyful. I think we'd be afraid. So understanding their thinking, that everybody's saying this man Christ that they crucified is risen from the dead, but he had to help them to understand this is our hope. This is our hope and faith. This is our hope that for the saints that have gone on before us, this is our hope. What hope do you have? A lot of times when I preach, I love the word hope. I think it's a wonderful word. It encourages me. I thank God that I have a hope. I've said to you many a times, and this whole world is, as Sister Ann sang the song, this whole world, it's a mess.
It's changing all the time.
And I don't feel that it's going to get any better. I don't care who's the president is. I'm not talking about this country. I'm talking about the world in general. It's a mess.
It is.
And I feel bad for people to have that have a hope of the things of this world. Let me tell you what, you can have a hope of something else that doesn't change, that's settled. Hope in the kingdom of God. Hope in heaven one day. What is your hope in? The word hope, the definition of the word hope is to desire with anticipation of fulfillment. I like those words. The hope is to desire with anticipation of fulfillment. I thank God, I believe that one day when I leave this old world, by the grace of God, if I walk faithful to Him and die in the faith, my hope, and there's a song in their songbook that uses a different word, we live by faith, and that sort of can go a little bit coincide with hope. But it says we have faith, we have faith, we have faith. And I think the fourth verse of that particular song, it says, one day our faith is going to be lost in sight. One day I'm not going to have faith anymore when I stand before Christ, because I'll have understanding, a full sight of things that are going on. So today, that hope, the desire with anticipation, or expectation, not anticipation, with expectation of fulfillment. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 14. And Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 32 says, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous have hope in his death. Zondervan's commentary says this particular verse, the wicked think they have a grip on life. And that's very true. In the world out there, they think, I know what's going on. I can handle things. I know how to handle things. I know how to handle life. I know how to handle afterlife. I know how. The wicked think they have a grip on life and are convinced that they will achieve success. In God's time, however, the wicked is driven away. He says there in verse 32, the wicked is driven away in his wickedness. But thank God for the second part. But the righteous hath hope in his death. The righteous have hope. They have faith. They have confidence in the death of Jesus Christ. Where's your hope today? Where's your faith? Where's your confidence? The disciples, when Jesus had died, and they buried him, and they had gone to the tomb and seen that the tomb was empty. They didn't know really what was going on. They go back to the house, and because of the fear of the Jews, they were in, the Bible says they were locked up in the house, or they were shut up in the house. I think the words were used there, shut up in the house, meaning they were locked up in the house. The disciples were there. They were afraid. They had heard that, you know, that Jesus is gone. They had heard that, you know, they don't know what's going on. But as they were in that house, and the house was shut up, Jesus appeared in the house. He didn't knock on the door. He didn't open the door. He didn't have a key to the door. He just appeared in the room. That changed their hope. That changed their mindset. They had an understanding that there is life after death. And I think about it a lot of times, a story. I can imagine their thoughts that were running through their mind. I can imagine sometimes they can remember that he taught them, tear this, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Son of Man shall be in the earth, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. I'll be in the earth 3 days and three nights, and I shall come forth. Things are starting to click with them, things of the understanding, and they had a greater hope. And after that time, they went out and you couldn't stop them from preaching the gospel of Christ. He's alive because we've seen him. And over, we're not going to turn here, but over in John chapter 20 and verse 19, as Jesus appeared in the room, and I said there, that's where it indicates it there, it says they had a new hope. And he says, in this life only I have hope, I am of all men most miserable. As we read back here in verse 19, and I thank God, they were miserable in a sense. The disciples, they didn't know which way to go. They didn't have the Jesus Christ, the man that they seen do all kind of miracles, heal everyone, do walk on water, calm the storms, do things that they never imagined in their life. He's gone. There's no possible way they can kill him, but he's gone. But now they have a new hope. And thank God, saints of God, that we haven't seen him. He hasn't appeared to us. But I thank God he's talked to us through his Spirit. And he's given us that hope of eternal life. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, "But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." I believe for the most part, people have no hope in this life. I believe most people just ignore the future. For the majority, I believe you can get most people that are in their early 20s. They have no concept or thought of retirement. It's too far down the road. It's not something I'm really worried about right now. And maybe financially not able to do certain things, but when it comes to death, when it comes to what are you going to do after this life, no concept. They just ignore it. They just ignore it. And I believe many people have no hope of anything. They have no hope of eternal life. And there again, of Jesus Christ, they can't say that, as Paul was trying to indicate him back here in Corinthians that we were reading. And he says in this verse of Scripture, be ready always. And I say, Lord, help us. Help us as saints. Help us as a verse I had a few message, a vision of the kingdom of God. Help us to have such a hope to be able to encourage people. And as I just said, sometimes I think about that. And you may tell people, they say, you have no hope. You know, they say, well, I hope the government takes care of things. I hope you know, the economy gets better. I hope this or I hope that. Well, thank God, I have a hope that is steadfast and sure by the grace of God. He says, be always ready to give an answer to every soul of the hope that you have within you. You know, I think people can say I have a hope of heaven, but they're really not confident. I believe your family, your friends, your neighbors, people we work with, people out there, they say, I hope to go to heaven. That's what some will say. I hope to go to heaven. I had a man, a friend of mine, tell me, I don't know how we were talking about it, but a little bit about heaven and things. And he put his hand on my shoulder. He goes, this is what he said to me. He goes, I'm hoping you're wrong. That's what he told me. He goes, I'm hoping you're wrong. Well, I believe I'm right. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's an afterlife. I believe there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And by the grace of God, my hope is in eternal life by the grace of God. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 6, picking up in verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us. For which hope we have is an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which endureth unto that with all the veil, to enter within the veil. He says here in verse 18, he says, we have a strong consolation. You have a strong consolation? You have a strong confidence in your hope? That word consolation means comfort. I thank God for comfort. I thank God for security. I thank God for a peace in my heart to believe that there is a hope after this life. He said, we have a strong consolation. And one of the things that a strong consolation could be a comfort is, one thing he says there, that God cannot lie. Thank God for that. What I read in the Word of God, it's not going to change. This was written, the Old Testament and all was written thousands of years before Christ, and it's been over 2,000 years since Christ, since these verses in the New Testament has been written. And I thank God things have changed over and over, and we're living in a time today things are changed, but this word will not change by the grace of God. We're not going to make heaven a home one day, or we're not going to stand before the judgment of God one day and say, I read to you a couple weeks ago, the Bible says there will be books open, and we're not going to go to the, I know we're not going to have the Bible, but we're not going to stand before God and say, well, Lord, the Bible says here in this verse in this chapter, and he says, oh, we made an amendment to that, that's gone away. That's not going to change. There's not one amendment made to this Bible. Not one thing has changed. Not one thing has been rewritten. God says, there's one thing, he says, there's one strong consolation that God cannot lie. Yeah, in the Old Testament time, when the children of Israel were there in Canaan and things, and God was helping Moses to get some order of things, and God came to Moses and he told him, he said, when you come over Jordan to Canaan, he goes, I'm gonna make you to make an appoint a city of refuge. You heard about that in the Old Testament? There's a city of refuge. There's a place, a city, a literal city, to where if someone had committed a crime, someone had done something, or by accident or whatever, if they can get to the city of refuge, and they can be safe there until whatever trial or whatever be taken care of or whatever, and that's a safe. They can't run into the city and they come out and grab them and take them out and persecute them or whatever. We don't have that today in the world. You commit a crime, you commit something, there's sin, there's punishment that's going to happen. I know people run. They run and they hide and things, but if they catch them, eventually they catch them, there could be punishment and all. But we do have a city. A city of refuge. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. And we deserve punishment. We deserve a penalty. We deserve death because of the sin we've done. But thank God there is a hope in Jesus Christ where we can get to the altar of Jesus Christ and repent from sin and be forgiven of sin. Then we have that safety of city of refuge through Jesus Christ. There's a hope. People were out there living in sin with no hope, with no future of life after this world. In verse 19, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. He says, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Is your hope an anchor to you? Is your hope sure to you? Is your hope steadfast to you? Is your hope something that's taking you day by day to be victorious in this life? The song says we have a hope within us. We have a hope within this life of a life beyond the grave. I'll get it right here in a minute. In the fair and vernal lands, do we know that when our earthly house by death shall be dissolved, we have a house not made with hands. Blessed hope we have within us is an anchor to the soul. It is both steadfast and sure. It is founded on the promises of Father's written word, and twill evermore endure. Since we walk the straight and narrow way, our path has ever shone brighter, brighter, day by day. Thank God, hope within our hearts assures us it is better farther on. It is brighter all the way. Life
will end in joyful singing. Paul said this statement, I have fought a faithful fight. Then we lay our armor down, and our spirits freed from earthly ties shall take their happy flight to possess a starry crown. We have a hope within us. We have a hope within our soul, brighter than the perfect day. God has given us His Spirit, and we want the world to hear it. All our doubts have passed away. Do you have a hope this morning? I'll tell you what, some days go by. It can get distressful. It can be discouraging. Sometimes we need to look up and say, thank God I have a hope better than the things in this world. What's your hope this morning? Do you have a hope in Jesus Christ? Your trust and confidence that Christ rose from the dead? And He said, I go to my Father's house and I'm preparing a place for you. Is that your hope? May the Lord bless you. That's why I was saying.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 120.
The truth has been through. them will also our righteousness stand, and will we hear regret. To them must come and repent their too late, they must be born again. They must be born again. They must be born again. His words are true, his spirit to you. We must be born again. We must be born again. We must be born again. His words are true, his spirit to you. Must be born again.
Might be seated for just a moment.
We should sing happy birthday to Hart this morning.
Okay. What was his name again?
Hart.
Hart. We'll sing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lord. Happy birthday to you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God bless you. When's birthday? What day?
Today.
Is it?
Today.
Today? Today. How old?
6 years old.
Six.
Which one had a birthday? I'm confused.
That's Alicia, should be.
Yeah.
Alicia Hart.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Okay. All right, we'll stand and be dismissed. Sister Jerry, you be dismissed.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God once again. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you gave some a desire to hear your word.
Amen.
Lord, and some believe it. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for one that'll bring the message to us. And we ask you, Lord, to be with us as we return to our home. And help us, Lord, to ponder these things that we've heard today. And might encourage us and keep us, Lord, in the place that you would have us to be.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I'm good today, Mark. Thank you.